You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. But before I get into my message, I mentioned something last week that I just wanted to bring up again because some folks were like, wait, you mentioned that quickly and we didn't really understand. So I mentioned just briefly at the end of the message last week that I'd been asked to lead Ministers Fellowship International is the organization. We've been a part of a fellowship of churches we've been a part of since 1986. And they have asked me to lead what's called the Northeast Region. And so what they do is they kind of assign a leader over different regions of the U.S. Obviously, MFI is a very large organization now. It's over 10,000 churches in the world. Each usually country has kind of its own MFI, so it'd be like MFI Europe. That's not a country, of course, but MFI Europe, MFI Canada. And then within those, there's regions. And so within the U.S., there's a number of regions. And one of them is the Northeast. And they asked me to lead it. We actually haven't had we've had an interim director for that region for some years from Western Ohio. And they were looking for someone from the region. And so they've asked me, it was an honor, honestly. I did say yes. Basically what it is New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, and any churches that affiliate with MFI. I just try to connect with them. We do like a monthly Zoom call for relationship. And also there's a regional conference every year and then a retreat where I take some of the pastors maybe on a retreat every year. And so it's you know, there's a decent amount of work to it. I'm changing my schedule and compartmentalizing to Thursdays so that Thursdays I tend to focus on all the outside things I do. It's not just MFI, but MFI, the NTC family, also all of our missions things. That's when I connect with folks from Georgia and Colombia and Uganda. And so I try to put all my outside of our local church work on Thursdays, which is kind of how I've easy for me to compartmentalize rather than mix it in throughout the days. But yeah, so you'll be hearing more about that over the years, I'm sure, and over time. On April 25th and 26th is our regional conference. It's held in Syracuse this year. Maybe held here at some point, though we're not really a central location for anybody to come to, nor do we have any hotels for people to stay in, or at least hotels you want people to stay in. We're holding it in Syracuse, and that'll be kind of the official. I'm the acting director now. It'll be the official. They're going to pray over my wife and I and start then. So, yeah, if you have questions about that, you can always just ask me, but it's part of something where part of the greater body of Christ, and just an honor to be asked and to lead in that way. It's kind of my heart is that I love the bigger thinking stuff. I'm always dreaming of vision and how to impact the North Country. Now it's how to impact the Northeast through. And I think it's 22 churches in that region right now. Though I have already, just in the connections I've made with the pastors, 8 names of new churches and pastors who are interested to be in MFI in our region, but mostly people weren't inviting anybody in because there was nothing really happening in the Northeast, and so it could grow pretty easily from there, which will be really awesome. So wanted to share that with you. I'm not leaving, never, ever. Literally, I've made jokes about this. I love Messina. I love the North Country. I have no desire to be anywhere else in the world other than to help. And I always tell people, like, I love to visit cities and I love to leave them. I do. I love to go and be like, wow, what a great city. I'm tired of your traffic already. I want to go home. And so I love where I live. I love where I've grown up. I believe this is where Jessica and I have been planted for the kingdom of God. It just happens to be where I grew up too. My mom is always asking me, are you going to leave someday? I'm like, no, mom. I said, listen. And she's like, what if an angel of the Lord came and told you had to leave? I said, I'd send him back and say, send Jesus to tell me. Because I would need a very distinct word from Jesus to make me leave Messina. I just love it too much. So got a message for you today. I'm not going to belabor it, honestly, because I want to end with a little bit of worship again today, as we had a couple weeks ago. Of course, we didn't have church last week. But I want my message today is fighting the good fight, and it kind of has this obviously tag onto what we've been talking about in spiritual warfare and what's been going on in our lives as individuals. But I also believe that when we begin to fight the good fight, and we're going to read a scripture. It's from a scripture in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy, sorry, right there in your notes. What I've encountered over the last couple months as we've begun to talk about spiritual warfare, as we've begun to have times of prayer, I've probably had two or three different, I don't know what you want to call them, just sessions of praying for people to experience deliverance and victory in their life every week for the last 6 weeks. And it's been incredible, honestly. The stories and the moments that I'm witnessing for people is just incredible. But guess what? It's also really tiring. And I think one of my messages I talked about fighting, if you've ever been in an actual fight, it's really tiring, isn't it? Anybody else ever get tired of fighting the good fight? And there's this admonition that comes in, you know, 1 Timothy from Paul. And Paul is kind of writing to Timothy, who is his son in the faith. So you see Paul, he writes letters to churches often. And in those letters, he's usually confronting some things and he's encouraging some things and he's maybe even admonishing in different ways. And then we see him write a couple of letters to his son in the faith, Timothy. And really those letters are often quite encouraging. They're trying to get him to be reminded. And so he's talking to Timothy. At one point he says, hey, don't let anybody ever put you down because of your youth. And he's always telling him to be encouraged and to bolster himself up. And he gets to this place in 1 Timothy 6, which is the very end of his first letter to him. And he begins to write this at the very end, and he says this, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want to read this in the NLT as well, 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good faith, for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And there's really a reason, if you actually get into the background of some of what's happening in the midst of the world in that time, Timothy had been facing some pretty heavy opposition. Timothy is a leader in the body of Christ, and he's been given this huge, really, responsibility to lead this church and to lead the people of God in this region. And he's faced some opposition. Some things have actually happened against him. In fact, some of the beginning of the letter is just telling Timothy, like, hey, I know you've got a whole bunch of people that are against you, but just put them aside. Like, you don't have to listen to them. They're not the ones who determine who you are or what you're called to. And he gets to this last part, and he's saying this word, which I appreciate. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Then he says this, hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. And as we began talking at the beginning of January about just the fact that we're in a fight and acknowledging that we have an enemy, what I reminded, or what my first message was, it was December 29th, is I talked about how in warfare, often the very moment before you reach the victory is the hardest moment. Right? And if you can look at even just the physical real world and battles that humanity has found themselves in, and one of the ones that I brought up on that Sunday was World War II, when we were breaching the beaches of Normandy and all along France, and we had this idea that Germany had this incredibly large encampment. And what they did is they found, as they broke through the beaches, they found out that Germany really had been putting on a show, that most of their tanks had run out of fuel. Many of the men didn't even have ammunition. They had a kind of reached out too far where their resources couldn't keep up with their ambition. That's what happened to the Germans. And so the enemy was putting on this face of strength, but really it was just this last push that needed to happen before they stepped into victory. But I'm telling you, if you actually ever look at what happened on Normandy, it was brutal. It wasn't like an easy thing. It was brutal. The loss of life was incredible. But yet they saw victory. And so I'm reminded, even here we are about 6-8 weeks later and preaching about spiritual warfare and fighting the good fight. And even as I walked up to the wreck of my wife's car yesterday, I was just reminded like, oh, this is real. There's a real fight. It's not just always even moments of prayer in a room with someone, but really the enemy has schemes. We read this in Ephesians 6. It says that he actually has strategies against us, and one of the strategies is always to wear us out. To wear you down so that you get back to that place of saying, ah, this is just too hard. And get, you know, yesterday as I picked Jessica up off the side of the road as she was like crying and trying to get her into my truck because there was no ambulances available in the North Country, and having to drive her to the hospital myself, I'm like trying to be that friendly neighborhood pastor to the police that I'm like, what's going on? Why is she still here? And bringing her to the hospital myself, I was just mad. That's my go-to emotion, just so you know, first, but I was just mad, and I was reminded of the reality that we're in a fight, and it can be painful in the midst of that fight. And I was tired yesterday. Something like literally after I got home from the hospital, I went in, Jessica's in the bed, like can't move, can't breathe. And I laid down next to her. She's like, are you okay? I said, I don't know. I just, like everything is drained out of me right now. And I was thinking about texting Sherry like, hey, I hope you got a word for tomorrow. Because I was like, man, I don't know if I can go to church and preach. I was so tired. My head was just in a bad space. And I just thought, man, I don't know if I got it in me. And I felt like the Holy Spirit literally said, fight the good fight. Stand up. Just go. I'll give you whatever you need. And I decided I'll go to bed extra early. I went to bed early last night. I woke up this morning, and I was singing a song as I woke up this morning. I love that. Have you ever had that happen? And the song is a Cody Carnes song. It's I think it's called Firm Foundation. And I was like reminded in my spirit, like, oh, I am not the one that does the fighting. Remember? 2 Chronicles 20. We sang actually some lyrics this morning in our songs that he's the one who fights for us. And so we have to be reminded that as we continue in a good fight, that it isn't in our own strength. And we see this scripture and we see Paul reminding Timothy like, hey, fight the good fight. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you. He's called us to eternal life. And that eternal life isn't something just for heaven one day. It's for you right here and now. That he has a heaven on earth scenario for you. That's what Matthew 6, and he teaches his disciples to pray. That's what it's about. He literally says, pray that your heaven come on earth as it is in heaven. Like, we should be believing for the eternal life that he has for us right now. And so he says, hold tightly to that. And I think sometimes you got to hold tightly to it. Why? Because life is trying to rip it out of your hands. The world is trying to rip it away from you. Circumstances are trying to discourage you and weigh you down. And I would say today that if we want to fight the good fight of faith and hold tightly, then there's something that has to be resolute in us. We have to be able to stand against it. And one of my whole messages was about standing firm. And this morning, the main thing I wanted to say today was this. We're going to jump past a bunch of my notes. But fighting the good fight is not just about perseverance, but it's standing on a strong foundation in Christ. You see, you can't fight well if so a lot of the scriptures that we read about fighting this spiritual warfare, it says stand firm. If you don't have something strong to stand on, it doesn't matter how firm you stand. When I was youth pastor, and I haven't been here at an all-nighter in a long time, but we would have all those all-nighters on New Year's Eve. And we'd clear out the chairs in here and we would bring in different big blow-ups, right? And one of the ones that I always rented was this blow-up where you would stand on these pedestals that were inflated, and you would have those like giant oversized American Gladiator jousting things. You know what I'm talking about? And people get hurt every year, but it was just so fun. But the hardest thing about this battle that you'd have is you get on this pedestal, and the pedestal was not firm. It was like crazy wobbly, and you're trying to fight while your legs are trying to maneuver this whole thing that wants to waver around, and it was super hard to fight while you're on it. And I think about myself, like, or I think about our lives, we're trying to fight a good fight at times, but we haven't actually set our foundation right. Or maybe we've left the foundation that we're supposed to have because we think there's a better one somewhere else. But really what it looks like is more like that pedestal and the blow up rather than the firm foundation Jesus has for us. You can't stand firm unless what you're standing on is firm already. You can't fight and win a fight unless you're already positioned in a way that is on the foundation that we're supposed to have. And I just think about the scripture in Matthew 7. Jesus is teaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, and he's actually getting all the way near the end of it. And he ends with this whole picture that happens. He says this, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." The thing I always point out in the scriptures, it says, when they come. Not if, just when. Every one of us is going to face winds and storms and earthquakes that shake our life. And what we're seeing from Jesus, he's saying, if you want, the reason he's ending his whole Sermon on the Mount with this, he's saying, if you want any of this to be true, all the stuff he just preached about in the Sermon on the Mount, if you want any of it to actually be effective in your life, it has to first start by the fact that you built a foundation right. You have to have the right foundation, or none of it will stand the test of time. And that is true of our lives. I think about it in every moment that I'm faced with something that's difficult and feels like heavy opposition. That if we don't stand firm on the right thing, we can't stand firm in a long period of time, or we can't be actually those that are effective over a period of time. It will fall. We'll falter. And so the foundation that we have, it's really simple here. We jump down. 1 Corinthians 3, it says this way, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus has to be our foundation. Psalms 18, even before Jesus comes on the scene, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge." You know, there's times within fights that you got to take some refuge. There's times where you have to actually not just advance, but kind of get in behind some things and make sure that you're in good shape and make sure that you've got your weapons filled with ammunition again. You can't just constantly be running forward in a battle. Sometimes you have to have a moment of refuge. And sometimes we need that. We need to know if we have the refuge that exists. You know, when they prayed over me this morning, and we've talked about it in my messages, because I used to joke around when people would pray for hedges of protection, but I taught you guys that from Job, we see this actual, you know, the reason we use that hedge of protection is that hedge meant something a little different than we think. We're thinking of bushes on the edge of our lawn. But what it meant was really a wall of protection around somebody. And we see it in the story of Job. So we have this belief that God can actually put protection. That's what a refuge is. Sometimes the enemy is going to actually push back against your fighting, and you better have a refuge place. But guess what the refuge is? Jesus. Guess what the firm foundation is? Jesus. Guess what your weapons are? Jesus. This is a really easy Sunday school answer here, guys. We have to remind ourselves we don't fight in our own strength, but we fight in the name of Jesus, that we have a firm foundation in him. And if we want to stand, and if we want to push past the difficult moments of our lives and not just settle in and not take defeat and not just live at 70% free, but actually believing for the full victory God has, it has to come first from reminding ourselves that we're on a firm foundation. And if we're not, we have to recognize it and make a shift. We have to shift our lives over to that firm foundation. Ephesians 2:19, it says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And I could get into a whole teaching around how they used to do foundations and how they would set a foundation, and it all began with one very large stone called the cornerstone. We don't build foundations like that anymore. We use concrete. But you could still find houses in Messina that would have a cornerstone. There's buildings in Messina that would actually have begun with a cornerstone, and it was the most true stone, shaped with right angles so that they could begin off of a certain point and know that everything else will be built right if this is right. And if we want everything in our lives to line up with the kingdom, if we want to make it through the difficult moments, then we have to know that it comes from the place where it starts perfectly, which is Jesus. You know, I think about even not just what I was facing this weekend, but what we've really been facing as a community, as the North Country this week with our correctional officers. I mean, this is really serious. I don't tend to get political. This is absolutely not political. It's just a gigantic mess where people are in danger, where people are suffering. And we see an incredible group of people that have to take some action. And the truth is that I look at that situation, I think, man, they're standing up for something because they know it's right. Mostly I look at this as an opportunity, and I know that with Living Hope is doing in Malone and what we're doing with our friends that are in that place. I've connected with some folks in Augsburg, obviously over at Riverview. The reality is people need hope in this moment. Because guess what? Your foundation is not the state of New York, nor the federal government. It's not our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in him. And these other things, they do matter, but we have to remind ourselves that people are looking for something that is beyond just what they can see right in front of their face. They need some hope in their lives in the midst of difficult situations. And I look at the line of people that are standing outside these prisons thinking, man, I hope there's some people putting hope in them right now. God, give us opportunity to love and bless these people, to remind them that there's a God who loves them, that there's an opportunity for them to place their lives in Jesus' trust. You know, I wanted to do something this morning. I'm going to just interrupt what I'm saying to do it right now. If there's any COs in this room, I know there's a couple that I see, or if there's any families here representing correctional officers in this room, could you just stand? We're going to pray for you. Is that okay? Don't be embarrassed. We got Mark here. I know a lot are there. Can we just lift our hands towards these folks right now? If you're nearby, go ahead and put your hands on them. Yeah, sure.
You know, I'm going to say that most people would say they were fortunate enough not to be inside when everything took place. I'd give anything to be inside. I don't think it's fortunate that I was outside. I don't think it was fortunate that you're inside. You know, I said to Greg the other day, I said, I'm standing out there and I'm fighting to lead the group that we have on the line for a movement for what we believe is right. And I jokingly said to him, you have any idea what that's like? But I'm going to tell you, I have never seen brokenness like I have seen in these men and in these women. And I know that at my jail, We start out every morning with prayer. I know there's been conversions on the line, but the people inside are so broken and relationships that I'm not sure will ever be restored. And there are 8,000 to 10,000 officers out of 13,000 standing on the line without pay, possibly punitive criminal charges against us because we believe in what is right. And it's killing me that I'm not there this morning. I've been there every day, but I'm here because I know where my help comes from. I'm here to get fueled, to bring back something, hope, to bring back, you know, our firm foundation, to try to stand for what we believe in. And let me tell you, our families are suffering. My wife is stressed every day. There are people that we have been able to get out and connect with their families who are beside themselves because they haven't spoken to their families in 5 and 6 days. They need to be covered too. And so, like I said, I know that my hope comes from God, and that's why I'm here today. It's killing me that I'm not there. I mean, my phone is blowing up in the aisle, but if there's ever a time that corrections has been ripe for the picking, it is now. So pray for your people.
Let's just pray. God, we just thank you, God, that you're not absent from what's happening in our world. God, you're not distant from what's happening in our families and in our communities. And so, God, we lift up right now this situation to you, God. God, what looks like an impossible situation, what looks like an unheard situation, God, we just ask right now that there would just be a breakthrough that would take place. God, that the voices in our state would actually hear the voices that are here in the communities, God. God, that there'd be actual open lines of communication, that there'd be right changes made, God. And I pray that you would somehow break through, God, that we would see an amazing moment, even something the enemy has meant for evil, God, would be turned around for good. God, we pray for these families that are affected, God, of all the corrections officers on the line. God, I pray as they're standing out there today that there'd be a sense of peace that would start to come over them. God, there'd be a sense of your presence, God, that there'd be voices that would start to be heard, that would point people not to just the state government, but God, to you, God. I'd even ask that people like Mark and others that are even locked inside, God, we lift up Shane Poyer and Tony Ramsdale, God, and all the others that we are connected with. We ask that you would give them voices of hope in this moment, God. God, we ask that you'd lift them up as they've been awake for hours and hours and hours and hours, God, that there would be just even a clarity of mind to speak hope and encouragement into the officers there around. And God, we pray just for a situation of this magnitude to come to a resolve, God, a righteous resolve in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, you care. We thank you, you're good. In the name of Jesus, amen. Why don't we stand this morning? I asked the team to learn a new song called Champion. And I just, I've been listening to this for the last couple months, and it's just been on my mind, my lips as I'm spending time with Jesus. And I want to encourage us again. You know, we've talked about this a few times. We've ended with some worship, and I want to end with some worship this morning. And if you're in need of a breakthrough, or maybe you're in need of just that encouraging moment where you're feeling like, man, I'm a little tired of the fighting right now. Like, I was all encouraged in January, like, yeah, let's fight the good fight. But now the good fight just seems tiring, and maybe I just want to settle in or give up. I would just encourage you this morning, let's press just a little further. Let's lift our hands to Jesus. Let's worship and believe that the Holy Spirit's going to come and lift us up in every area of our life where we need being lifted up. Can we believe for that this morning? This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray over you. The worship team is gonna begin to lead us. And I would just encourage you, if you want, come forward. Come forward, lift your hands, kneel down, do something to just say, Jesus, I want to be with you in this fight. I don't want to stand on my own foundation. I want to stand with you. So God, we lift our hands to you this morning, God. We lift our hearts to you. We lift our lives to you, God. We kind of push our lives, not just in the grasp of our own, but actually back into your hands, Jesus. God, we want to say how much we trust you. God, we want to live our lives on this foundation. We want to stand firm and we want to fight a good fight, but God, we want to not do it in our own strength. And so God, I pray today that you would begin to just pour out your spirit in a fresh way. God, I ask for an infilling of every person in this room, even every person online that wants to receive it. God, I ask right now that you would fill us up, God, for this next season again, to keep pushing forward, believing for victory in new ways, believing for breakthrough in new ways, believing for freedom in new ways, God. Knowing that you are the God who has it all. You're the God who provides it all. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let's worship together. Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.